RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, Headline News, and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesia hosts international conference on Jerusalem. Report from Bank Indonesia, Indonesia's finances remain strong. Voters' confidence toward women increases. Now the news in detail. Indonesia holds international conference on the question on Jerusalem, themed addressing the past and shaping the future of Jerusalem, Monday to Tuesday, in Jakarta. In her statements, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi said that there are various issues to be addressed in the conference, including the importance of Jerusalem in Palestine, illegal settlements, Palestinian refugees, border issues, as well as water security. Retno added that Indonesia's willingness to host such international conference shows its support for the freedom of the Palestinian, including Jerusalem. Our acceptance to host this important conference reflects Indonesia's reliable and unwavering support for the legitimate struggle of the Palestinian people to exercise their rights. International conference on the question on Jerusalem, themed addressing the past and shaping the future of Jerusalem, was held under cooperation of the Committee on the Exercise of the Inalienable Rights of the Palestinian People and the Organization of Islamic Conference and the Indonesian government. The conference is attended by 25 member states and 24 observers of the exercise of the Committee on the Exercise of the Inalienable Rights of the Palestinian People, or CEIRPP. The opening of the conference is attended by Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Palestinian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Assistant Secretary General for Palestine Affairs of OIC, Vice Chairman of CEIRPP, as well as Indonesia's permanent representative to the United Nations, Resident Coordinator of UN in Indonesia, as well as the representative of the Secretary General of the UN and the representative of governments, intergovernmental organizations, and the United Nations system. Palestinian Minister of Foreign Affairs Riyad Al-Maliki encouraged the International Conference on the Question of Jerusalem to come up with statement to the conflict resolutions in between Palestine and Israel. It was conveyed in his remark at the opening ceremony of the conference Monday in Jakarta. According to him, the conference should provide statements that can be followed up with an implementation support for Palestine.
We must act with resolve to ensure that what we are addressing here in our statements translates into intensified political, diplomatic, and financial support by the United Nations and the OIC and their members.
Meanwhile, United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, in his written remark delivered by the resident coordinator of the United Nations in Indonesia, Douglas Broderick, said that the United Nations remains committed for the peace of Palestine-Israel conflict. According to him, Jerusalem is one of the oldest cities in the world. The increased coordination between the authorities concerned will help to ensure respect to the sanctity of the site. Bank Indonesia said that Indonesia will face economic challenges next year. Nevertheless, the central bank claimed that domestic industries have the resilience to absorb upcoming risk. BI Governor Agus Martowardoyo said that the banking sector, which dominates Indonesia's financial sector, has a high level of resilience. This is reflected on the above 20% capital adequacy ratio. A non-performing loan ratio that is lower than threshold and the high rate of return on assets. Despite the positive estimate, Agus said that the central bank will continue to observe all development in the global and domestic financial industry. The biggest potential for risk is still coming from the Federal Reserve's normalization policy, with their interest rates projected to rise in stages. A Fed rate hike, Agus said, may lead to capital outflows from developing markets. There is also the risk of commodity prices corrections triggered by China and Europe's slow-growing economies. The Financial Services Authority, or JK, has reminded financial conglomerate groups to finalize internal risk assessment before the end of this year. Speaking at the Bali Enterprise Risk Management event in Nusa Dua last week, OJK's Deputy for Banking Supervision Budi Armanto said that the regulator will use the self-assessment as base to classify conglomerate groups into 5 profiles, which is aimed at helping the OJK conduct integrated supervision over them. He said, as Business Indonesia reported on Monday, December 14th, that by next year, OJK will know the risk levels of each company in the conglomerate's groups. With an integrated supervision, the OJK aims to create stability in the financial system. The regulator is also preparing additional rules related to capital management to ensure that the conglomerates are financially prudent. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Political observer from the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, Siti Zuhro, said the regional heads elections Pilkada 2015 reflect changes in voter perceptions. Escorted by Republika, based on a quick count, many women candidates for local leaders who were able to win votes in their respective regions. Siti Zuhro on Monday explained voter confidence to women increases. According to him, voters really expect changes in their respective regions. Voters also expect women can deliver positive changes and they are able to answer the demands of society. Indonesian students won gold medals in International Junior Science Olympiad IJSO 2015 in Daegu, South Korea, on 2nd to 11th December 2015. A team of 12 junior high school students achieved 2 gold medals, 8 silver medals, and 2 bronze medals. Director of SMP, or Junior High School Ministry of Education and Culture, Supriyono, on Sunday said that Indonesian student team succeeded in bringing a good name of Indonesia. Indonesia sent 2 teams consisting of 6 leaders, 12 students, and 2 technical support. Training Center, or TC, has been carried out to select the Indonesian team in 3 stages of training for 12 weeks. TC participants were medalists of OSN national level in 2015. They practiced intensively and got a brief training from Bandung Technical Institute, or ITB, and University of Indonesia. IJSO in South Korea was attended by 249 students from 40 countries, including member countries of IJSO and some observers from other countries such as Australia, Azerbaijan, Bangladesh, Botswana, Brazil, Cambodia, China, Colombia, Croatia, and many other countries. The last item. As many as 4,000 hectares of rice fields belonging to Balinese farmers are included in the rice farming insurance program for the planting period of October 2015 to March 2016, an official has said. Head of Bali Provincial Agriculture and Foodstuffs Affairs Office, Ida Bagus Wisnu Ardana, said in Bali on Sunday, the previous target this year is 11,000 hectares of rice field, but only 4,000 hectares can be insured due to limited time. Thus, he stated, if the crop failure occurs due to floods or pest attacks after the rice field has been insured, the farmer can get the claim of 6 million rupiah per hectare. In addition, the farmers should not pay the entire premium because 80% of it is subsidized through the state budget. The amount of the premium per hectare is 180,000 rupiah, but 80% or 144,000 rupiah per hectare is covered through the state budget. But 80% or 144,000 rupiah per hectare is covered through the state budget. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesia hosts international conference on Jerusalem. Report from Bank Indonesia: Indonesia's finances remain strong. Voters' confidence toward women increases. That was the news.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary, and today's commentary is on central and local government need to fix economic inequality. According to the World Bank, Indonesia's economic growth over the last 15 years is relatively stable. GDP per capita grew at an average 5.4% per year between 2000 and 2014. This achievement helps the reduction of poverty and creating a growing middle class. However, these conditions, according to the World Bank, only favor the rich 10 to 20% in Indonesia. World Bank data shows the rate of population or economic disparities in Indonesia population is high. National Development Planning Board noted the level of economic disparities between the rich and poor population in Indonesia until December 2015 is 0.40. This figure corresponds to the target in the 2015 budget revision. Indonesian government continues to make efforts to reduce economic disparities between people in order not to exceed the 0.50 figure, because it means the gap between the rich and the poor is already very far. When this is allowed, it will hinder economic growth and lead to social conflict. Vice President Yusuf Kala said the government is committed to continuously improve economic inequality. It is delivered in the 6th Congress and the 25th anniversary of the Indonesian Muslim Intellectuals Association, which was held at the University of Mataram in West Nusa Tenggara. For 2016, the government wants to lower the economic disparities ratio to 0.39, and that has been mandated in the Act of State Budget 2016. In order to achieve the target, the government has been trying to change the partial development policies into a unified policy across sectors. Moreover, in terms of budget policy, the government has made some reform by conducting fiscal decentralization, which was started in 2015. Village Fund program is an example that is designed for an even distribution. With funds amounting to 20.7 trillion rupiahs in 2015 and 47 trillion rupiahs in 2016, this program is intended to strengthen the capacity of local spending. Village Fund program is not going to work if there is no local government involvement in the management. The local government must work harder and creatively look at the potential of the area. Each region should develop the area with potentials according to the characteristics of the region and relying on superior products. When the village fund is well managed, the level of economic inequality among people will decrease. That was commentary today. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on December 14, 1981, when the Golan Heights Law was ratified. The Golan Heights Law is the Israeli law which applies Israel's government and laws to the Golan Heights. It was ratified by the Knesset on December 14, 1981. The law was not recognized internationally and determined null and void by United Nations Security Council Resolution 497. The law was passed half a year before Israel's withdrawal from the Sinai Peninsula. Unusually, all three readings took place on the same day. This procedure was heavily criticized by the center-left opposition. Substantially, the law has mainly been criticized for potentially hindering future negotiations with Syria. And the last event was in 1995 when the Dayton Agreement was signed. The General Framework Agreement for Peace in Bosnia and Herzegovina, also known as the Dayton Agreement, Dayton Accords, Paris Protocol, or Dayton-Paris Agreement, is the peace agreement reached at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base near Dayton, Ohio, United States, in November 1995. It was formally signed in Paris on December 14, 1995. These accords put an end to 3.5-year-long Bosnian War, one of the Yugoslav wars. The conference took place from November 1 until 21, 1995. The main participants from the region were the presidents of the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia, Slobodan Milosevic, representing the Bosnian Serb interests due to the absence of Karadzic, President of Croatia, Franjo Tudman, and President of Bosnia and Herzegovina, Alija Izetbegovic, with his Foreign Minister, Mohammad Sasirbek. After having been initialed in Dayton, Ohio, on November 21, 1995, the full and formal agreement was signed in Paris on December 14, 1995, and witnessed by French President Jacques Chirac, US President Bill Clinton, UK Prime Minister German Chancellor Helmut Kohl, and Russian Prime Minister Viktor Chernomyrdin. And listener, that's Today in History.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. In today's edition, it's on Bali Democracy Forum, a forum for strengthening democratic values. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. The 8th Bali Democracy Forum was officially opened by Vice President Yusuf Kalla on December 10, 2015, and closed by Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs A.M. Fakhir in Bali Nusa Dua Convention Center, Bali on December the 11th. It was attended by approximately 250 participants from 89 countries and 3 international organizations. The high level of attendance, participating countries, observer countries, and international organizations shows the strong commitment on the importance of the process of exchanging ideas and sharing best experiences on democratic values. Bali Democracy Forum this time is considered special because it took place at a time when Indonesia was holding regional head elections simultaneously in more than 260 regions in the country, which went smoothly and was followed by more than 105 million voters. Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs A.M. Fahir told the media after officially closing the forum in Nusa Dua, Bali, that Bali Democracy Forum, the 8th, is a process for each country to speak and promote democracy. According to A.M. Fahir, there is no exact formats of democracy throughout the world, but at least Bali Democracy Forum could provide learning about democratic values.
Sejak pertama hanya diikuti oleh 36 negara, sekarang sudah 89 negara plus 3 organisasi internasional.
At first it was attended by only 36 countries, but now there were 89 states plus 3 international organizations, that of the amount of participation alone. Then of the proceeding, well, it used to be open for the public only at the plenary. Now the interactions were very open. And this is not only sharing experiences, but learning from the experiences, even the thoughts of the participants. It could be seen from the interactive discussion. How then, when the Vice President delivered his speech saying that we still have weaknesses and we need to improve? So this is a process where people conveniently talk about a joint effort to promote democracy.
Satu format pun yang bisa diterapkan di semua tempat, tetapi paling tidak pengalaman-pengalaman dari.
Indeed, there is no single format that can be applied in all places, but at least the experiences were delivered become lessons to be learned, lessons for us all to always reinforce values of democracy. Furthermore, A.M. Fahir explained that many participating countries wanted the Democratic Forum to be continued annually and augmented the focus of discussions like democracy and religion. In addition, a number of countries expressed appreciation to Indonesia for continuous efforts in promoting democracy through Bali Democracy Forum. Another view was raised at the general debate session that democratic life in some countries, including in Myanmar, has evolved towards an inclusive and non-confrontational. It is believed that the promotion of democracy is not an easy task, but democracy is one way towards an effective governance for the welfare of the people through transparent and accountable administration. The 8th Bali Democracy Forum was conducted in 2 panel discussions to discuss the subtopic of building democracy and developing effective public governance, led by former Indonesian Foreign Minister Hasan Wirayuda, and challenges, choices, and prospects for building democracy and developing effective public governance, led by former Deputy Foreign Minister Dino Patijalal. The 8th Bali Democracy Forum has produced a chair statement which reflects the discussion at the meeting as well as real and implementable programs throughout 2016. Bali Democracy Forum is an annual ministerial-level forum organized by the Indonesian government since 2008 as a form of Indonesia's commitment to promote democracy while creating world peace through a homegrown approach which is inclusive and sustainable. Well, that was Focus of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with today's headlines taken from National Dailies published in Jakarta, December 14, 2015. We start from Kompas Daily, which writes in its headlines, there is a lack of understanding on ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. Listener, within days, the ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, will be immediately imposed. However, the public's understanding about the opening of the market is still low. This is an internal obstruction. The government still needs to socialize the AEC. Indonesian youth claim to be ready to face the ASEAN Economic Community. However, they are exasperated because the information about the roadmap and common goals set by the government regarding the economic opportunity is not quite clear. In his presentation, the director of the ASEAN Economic Cooperation of Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Ina Halingtias Krishnamurti, mentioned there are still a number of obstacles, particularly related to efforts to socialize everything about ASEAN in the country. Constraints are also related to the consistency and sustainability of the policies that affect a lot of things, including coordination at the central level and between central and local governments. Media Indonesia writes, House's Honorary Council Court MKD is only lip service. the seriousness of Parliament's Honorary Council Court, MKD, to resolve the case of Papa Ash talks involving House Speaker Setia Novanto is constantly under public spotlights. They considered it only a lip service, including when presenting the coordinating minister for politics, Luhut Panjaitan, today. Researchers of Indonesia's Parliamentary Social Concern Forum for MAPI, Lucius Karus, said it seems that the council is stalling for time to make a decision. According to him, it is not urgent to summon Luhut, especially after the concerned held a press conference on Friday, December 11. In the press conference at the office of the coordinating minister for politics, Luhut challenged anyone to show him the error. However, he did not blame Novanto and oilman M. Riza Khalid, who mentioned his name in the conversation Papa Ash talks with the president director of PT Freeport Indonesia, Maruf Samsudin. In the recorded conversation, Luhut's name has been mentioned 66 times. Oddly enough, the press conference was attended by Vice Chairman of the Honorary Council, Kahar Muzakir, as well as two members of the Golkar Party, Ridwan Bae and Adis Kadir. They argued that they wanted to get information. And we end today's headlines with Koran Tempo, which writes, Novanto may be imposed light sanction. Several members of the Honorary Council Court began to speak about the presence of or absence of ethical violations committed by Speaker of the House of Representatives Setia Novanto. Setia is accused to profiteer the name of President and Vice President to renegotiate PT Freeport Indonesia on June the 8th at the Ritz-Carlton, Jakarta. The Council's member, Maria Mansaragi, said the ethical violations committed by Novanto includes a light one. Marsiaman said that the council cannot immediately make a decision because of lack of evidence and information. Penalties for Setia depends on the content of the testimony of Riza Khalid. And listener, that's headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesia holds International Conference on the Question on Jerusalem, themed Addressing the Past and Shaping the Future of Jerusalem, Monday to Tuesday in Jakarta. Palestinian Minister of Foreign Affairs Riyad Al-Maliki encouraged the International Conference on the Question of Jerusalem to come up with a statement to the conflict resolutions in between Palestine and Israel. Bank Indonesia said that Indonesia will still face economic challenges next year. Nevertheless, the central bank claimed that domestic industries have the resilience to absorb upcoming risk. The Financial Services Authority, OJK, has reminded financial conglomerate groups to finalize internal risk assessment before the end of this year. Political observer from the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, Siti Zuhro, said the regional heads elections Pilkada 2015 reflect changes in voter perceptions. Escorted by Republika, based on a quick count, many women candidates for local leaders were able to win votes in their respective regions. Indonesian students won gold medals in International Junior Science Olympiad 2015 in Daegu, South Korea on 2nd to 11th December 2015. A team of 12 junior high school students achieved 2 gold medals, 8 silver medals, and 2 bronze medals. As many as 4,000 hectares of rice field belonging to Balinese farmers are included in the rice farming insurance program for the planting period of October 2015 to March 2016. Listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to one of Balinese dances, namely Sanghyang Dedari, so stay tuned. Listener, 9 Balinese dances have been determined by UNESCO as Intangible World Cultural Heritages at UNESCO meeting in Windhoek, Namibia, Africa. The dances are divided into 3 types, namely Wali, Babali, and Babalihan dance. Those dances have different functions. Wali dance is a sacred dance which is performed during religious events. The Wali dance is Rejang, Sanghyang Dedari, Baris Upacara dance, while Babalihan dance consists of topeng or mouse dance, Gambu drama dance, Wayang Wong drama dance, and Babalihan dance is a semi-sacred dance or complement dance or religious accompaniment. And the last, Babalihan or Bali-Balihan dance is entertainment dances which are usually performed for tourists such as Legong Keraton, Joget Bumbung, and Barongket Kuntis Raya dance. Listener, of the 9 Balinese dances which have been decided to be Intangible World Cultural Heritage by UNESCO, will introduce you to Sanghyang Dedari dance. Sanghyang Dedari dance is one of Balinese religious dances and specifically serves as a dance to repel disease outbreaks. Because it is included in Wali dance, Sanghyang Dedari is a sacred dance which is not to be performed in a common show but only in sacred ceremonies. This dance is performed by 2 little girls. Before dancing, the 2 little girls hold a ritual to beg angels to come into their bodies. This procession is accompanied by a choir which is held by men and women. Then the 2 little girls are unconscious as a sign that the soul of the angel has penetrated their bodies. After the 2 little girls are possessed, then some people put on headdress to the girls and also give them fans. Then the 2 little girls are put at the dancing stage. There, the little girls stand on shoulders of strong men. Accompanied by gamelan, the little girls dance on the shoulders of the men who walk around the stage. When dancing, the eyes of the 2 little girls are closed, and they dance on the shoulders without falling. Dancing without falling over someone's shoulders cannot be done when the little girls are in the state of consciousness. Moreover, usually the girls have never learned to dance before. After the dance, the dancers are sprinkled with holy water or tirta by indigenous stakeholders so that the dancers are conscious. It marks the end of Sanghyang Dedari dance performance. Thank you. Listener Sangyang the Dari Dance has developed from religious dance to become a ritual to beg for healthy and prosperous villages. This dance is usually held to cast out evil spirits that disrupt the harmony of humankind in the form of illness or death. When dancing, the dancers wear white clothes, white shirts, white belts, anklets, and silver and copper bracelets. The dancers also hold fans. In this costume, white color plays an important role as a symbol of purity, because this dance is a sacred dance. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Memperkenalkan Teman, which in English means Introducing Friends. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly, and you can repeat after me. Memperkenalkan. Memperkenalkan, which means introducing. Teman. Teman, which means friend. Sekolah menengah pertama. Sekolah menengah pertama, which means junior high school. Notaris. Notaris, which means notary. Psikolog. Psikolog, which means psychologist. Karyawan. Karyawan, which means employee. Bekerja. Bekerja, which means to work. Perusahaan Jepang. Perusahaan Jepang, which means Japanese company. Sekolah dasar. Sekolah dasar, which means elementary school. Dosen. Dosen, which means lecturer. Filsafat. Filsafat, which means philosophy. Mengajar. Mengajar, which means to teach. Universitas Indonesia. Universitas Indonesia, which means University of Indonesia. Dokter gigi. Dokter gigi, which means dentist. Seminar. Seminar, which means seminar. Bertemu. Bertemu, which means to meet. Teman lama. Teman lama, which means old friend. Reuni. Reuni, which means reunion. Mulai. Mulai, which means begin or start. Now we give you an example of conversation entitled memperkenalkan teman, or in English means introducing friends. The conversation is between A. Nita and B. Annie at a seminar. A. Nita. Hai, apa kabar? Hai, apa kabar? Which means, hai, how are you? Bolehkah saya perkenalkan teman-teman saya? Bolehkah saya perkenalkan teman-teman saya? Which means, may I introduce my friends? Ini teman SMP saya, Dewi. Ini teman SMP saya, Dewi. Which means, this is Dewi, my junior high school friend. Dia adalah seorang notaris. Dia adalah seorang notaris, which means she is a notary. Ini Rina, seorang psikolog. Ini Rina, seorang psikolog, which means this is Rina, a psychologist. Sedangkan ini Tuti, teman SMA saya. Sedangkan ini Tuti, teman SMA saya, which means and this is Tuti, my senior high school friend. Dia seorang karyawan. Dia seorang karyawan, which means she is an employee. Dia bekerja di sebuah perusahaan Jepang. Dia bekerja di sebuah perusahaan Jepang, which means she works at a Japanese company. Ini Dani, teman SD saya. Ini Dani, teman SD saya, which means this is Dani, my elementary school friend. Dia seorang dosen filsafat. Dia seorang dosen filsafat, which means he is a philosophy lecturer. Dia mengajar di Universitas Indonesia. Dia mengajar di Universitas Indonesia, which means he teaches at the University of Indonesia. Sedangkan ini Vivi, seorang dokter gigi. Sedangkan ini Vivi, seorang dokter gigi, which means next, this is Vivi, she is a dentist. B. Ani. Wah, kamu pasti senang. Wah, kamu pasti senang, which means great, you must be very happy. Di seminar ini, kamu bisa bertemu dengan teman-teman lama kamu. Di seminar ini, kamu bisa bertemu dengan teman-teman lama kamu. Which means, in this seminar, you meet your old friends. A. Ani. Ya, seperti reuni. Yes, just like a reunion. Mari masuk, seminar akan segera dimulai. Mari masuk, seminar akan segera dimulai. Which means, let's come in. The seminar is about to begin. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thanks for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment introducing you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we'll present you to Indonesian keroncong singers. Well, listeners, let's listen to a song entitled Aku Yang Di Sini by Oki Oktaviani. Happy listening. Aku Listener, the song Aku Yang Di Sini that you have listened is an original Kroncong song, which was nicely sung by Oki Oktaviani. The song tells about admiration of the beauty of God's creation. The beautiful panorama of the southern coast of Indonesia, which famous with some beaches. In addition to describing the natural beauty, this song also invites us to be grateful for the gift of the Creator, God Almighty. With melodious voice of Oki Oktaviani and beautiful Kroncong music accompaniment, is able to bring our imagination to enjoy the beauty of the southern coast of the Java Island. Well, listener, now let's listen to the next song entitled Kalung Mutiara by Mini Satrio. Enjoy the song.
Thank you.
The song Kalung Mutiara was composed by Indonesian Kroncong Maestro Gesang. The song is dominated by Javanese lyrics and rhythm. The song tells us about a woman who longs for her boyfriend. Pearl necklace has now become the only memories because her beloved man will never come back. Well, listener, now we come to the end of today's music corner. We'll play for the last song entitled Senja by Ika Karsono. Happy listening. See you tomorrow in another musical presentation. And sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.